carrying on from where we learned about having a living hope. What kind of a hope?
Living.
A living hope. 1 Peter 1:5-7. Those who are having a living hope, who are kept, it says, by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, verse 6, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been, say it with me please, grieved by various trials. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, I'm sorry, what was that?
Tested by fire.
Tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who are we wanting to see?
Jesus.
Whose revelation? We're a revelation of Jesus Christ out of the Message version. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. How many believe that's true? The day is coming when you'll have it all. Life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, Peter says, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Anybody ever get aggravated during your weeks? Hopefully you haven't been aggravated at church, but aggravated. It happens. Life happens. And things happen out there that we're not thrilled with. Come on, isn't that true? Every single day you watch the news. If you watch the news, you're full of aggravation. But pure gold, verse 7, put in the fire, comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display. I love this. Your faith, God will put on display as evidence of His victory. Come on, say amen, would you? Isn't that absolutely a powerful promise? Your faith will be put on display because of what God has brought you through. How many in this room, I'd like to see a show of hands, are going through something? Anything. Tough. Anything tough. Maybe it's your kids, your grandkids, what they're going through. Or things that are said, or people you work with, or people you used to work with, or there's just something that's a tough situation. And what it does is it tests us in our soul. It aggravates us in our soul. And He says, you're going to have that in the meantime. Before this is all wrapped up, before you see the fruit fully of your living hope, we have a home someday with Jesus all the time. Are you glad? You bet we go somewhere forever. But heaven begins when? Now. Turn to each other and say the word, now. Now. But we go through things in the meantime. Number one, kept by God's power. Number one, kept by God's power. Now the Greek word here is phrueo. Say it with me, please. Phrueo. Literally means to be a watcher in advance, to mount guard as a sentinel, posting spies at the gate, to hem in to protect. You are kept by God's power. What's that mean? You're a kept man. You're a kept woman. That has a different phrase so often nowadays. But God keeps you. God sets a watch over you. God's got spies at the gate and He's looking for the enemy who wants to come and knock you out of the ballpark. And God's got His emissaries there saying, get out in Jesus' name. It's my man. It's my woman. I've got my hands on them. Get away from here, because God has you hemmed in, protected, and kept. How many thank God that He's a keeping God? Wow. He's mounted a guard as a sentinel at the gate. Devil tries to come sneak in. The sentinel says, who are you? What's the password? The answer is Jesus. And the devil doesn't want to say that name. So the Lord says, so you? Foo, get out. He's protecting us, watching over you. I want you to know something. No matter who you are, no matter what you're going through, Jesus has His eyes on you today. Come on. Jesus has his eyes on you today. Luke 4, verses 10 and 11. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The words spoken to Jesus. But God's got his eyes on you. Jesus has his eyes on you. You are never forgotten. He sees you. That word being kept by God's power. That power is the Greek word dunamis. And what do we get? What's our English word from dunamis? Dynamite. The power of God. Explosive power. The force of God. Nothing can get through. We have a shield of faith, the Bible says, and the fiery darts of the enemy are quenched by the shield of faith. God's keeping you. Wait a minute, Kevin. Wait a minute. I know Christians who are harmed all the time, and accidents happen, and illnesses happen, and things happen. I know that. But I want you to know that even in the lands where ISIS is trying to commit genocide against Christians, and we're praying for those people, standing with those people, but even in those places where your physical life may be touched, how many know the devil can never touch your soul? He can never steal your soul from you when you've surrendered to Jesus Christ. He can never take your spirit. He can never take you out of the hands of Jesus. Do people walk away from the Lord? Yeah, yeah, they do. But I just pray, God, open their eyes, show them the way back to you, restore them to you. But you need to know your soul can never be stolen away. You remember when you're a kid, don't you? My dad's bigger than your dad. Anybody ever play that? No. All right. I did when I was a kid. Yeah. How many were the dad kids played that about? My God's bigger than any other God. In fact, there is no one else who is a God. My God's the only God. Nothing can happen before its time unless the Lord allow it. But nobody can take your soul and your spirit. I want to be honest enough with you that as your pastors, Pastor Sherry and I, labor and pray and do everything we can to help you and us as a congregation to be ready for whatever Jesus is saying or doing, whatever happens. If a disaster comes tomorrow, if your life is taken from you today, are you ready to meet Jesus face to face? Do you know he loves you and you love him? Have you surrendered to him? Our labors are that you know the word, that you know his presence, that you know his spirit, that you know his healing, that you know his redemption, that you know him as the soul lover and the passionate one who gave his life for you and me. Yeah, heaven will be glorious. You have the best retirement plan around, right? Heaven's going to be glorious. But heaven now begins now as we walk with him day by day. He wants us to have more of him today. He wants us to, as Pastor Sherry said, have the joy of the Lord. Wasn't that fantastic? Spurgeon may go on a little while, but he sure makes it real. I love it. More of him today. Are you ready? Jesus, help us. Dear Lord, help us. Here's the problem. Come on. Here's the problem. We love our lives. Come on. Don't act so religious with me. We love our lives. Even if it's frustrating, we love our lives. Guess what the Bible says? Here we go. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of their lamb, by the word of their testimony, Revelation 12:11, and they did not love their lives to the death. And that's really the problem. In America especially, many other nations around the earth don't have an iota as much as you have, even the poorest in this room. And the problem is we've become too comfortable in the United States sometimes to let faith be that which leads us. And we get comfortable in our lives. And the Lord says, don't love your lives to the death, but serve me first and foremost. Above all, with your whole life, serve Jesus. Come on, turn to each other and say, let's serve Jesus. Out of the passion, this says, they triumphed because they did not love and cling to their own lives, even when faced with death. No matter how difficult it gets, church, remember you are kept by His power. Number two, grieved by many trials. Trials grieve you. Do they ever bug you going through difficulties? Does that ever bug you? Don't look at each other and say, you bug me, but the trials sometimes bug us. They grieve us. Watch what the scripture says. I'm going to read it out of the Passion. Through our faith, the mighty power of God, 1 Peter 1:5-7. Through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. May the thought of this, I love it, cause you to what? Jump for joy. How many jumped this morning? Come on, let's see your hands. Jump for joy. Jump into the river. Even though lately you've had to put up with the grief of many trials. But these only reveal the sterling core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold, which perishes. For even gold is refined by fire. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honor. Your authentic faith, I love that phrase, say it with me. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus, the Anointed One, is revealed. 1 Peter 1:6 out of the King James. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And that Greek word is lupeo. Lupeo. And it means you're distressed. You're sad. And it's translated in grief as distressed, as you're enduring, you're suffering, you're putting up with. There's no question trials are a pain. And they frustrate us. But why do we have these trials? Why do we have them? What's that? It teaches us to trust in Him, to make us stronger. Any other reasons? What else? What else do you think? Why do we go through trials?
Purifies us.
Purifies us. How many are thrilled with that process? But it purifies us. I'm thrilled to end up more like Jesus, aren't you? Amen. Anybody else? Other thoughts? Yes, Laura.
To humble us.
Yeah, that's a fun one. No, but it's true, isn't it? He does. Usually, if we respond right during a trial, it'll cause us to become of tender heart, surrendered to Him. Yes, ma'am. Prepares us for what Jesus has in store for us. So there's the Bible says it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness as we become more like Him. Why do we face trials? All believers face trials when you shine your light into the darkness. Every believer is going to face it. That's what the Bible says. An unbelieving world sees a people of faith who are, come on, say it with me, different. You are
different.
Only three of you wanted to say that, but I want you all to say that with me. You are
different.
That's right. You live different? I know, Lee. Differently. You act? You talk? You think? You even sound different. You know what? The ribald humor. Man, I'm turning more TV off than ever. Who cares? Who cares? I don't want that stuff in my soul, do you? You know, you turn some of this stuff on, and it just sticks in your soul. And you don't need that conflict in your soul. You don't need the language. You don't need the sexual double entendres or the situations. And you become like what you see and what you hear. But the Bible says when you shine the light to a darkness, to a dark world, it's uncomfortable. Guess what scatters when the light goes on in the room? The cockroaches. The rats. They don't like the light. You turn on the light of Jesus and the demons have to go. Come on. You turn on the light of Jesus, the sin has to flee. You turn on the light of Jesus and you go, oh, I see that better now. I want to be like Him. Because you have a living hope inside your soul. You're not just like everybody else. So there's trials, conflict that's sometimes happening. What was happening in Peter's day? What do you think was going on? Well, the Christians became the target of persecution for four main reasons. I'm going to give them to you here. Number one, they refused to worship the emperor as a god, and thus were viewed as atheists and traitors. I know Christians right now who refuse to worship the idol of the television, or that sports star, or that musical star, or that movie star. We're not going to worship at that idol. And that's just a few of the things. How many know we got lots of different little gods that become big gods in America? But you don't fit in if you don't worship those things. The world, sometimes your family, others say, you got to do it this way. Or they look at you and they say, well, come on, what's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong. I'm just not going to bow down to those gods. Position, power, compromise. Do it this way if you want to get ahead. You see that right now playing out in Hollywood in a major way. A man who demanded wickedly that women do certain things to fit in. It's an abomination. And some of them yielded, or some of them were taken advantage of. It's wicked. And God is saying He's not going to wink at that stuff anymore. God wants us to live differently. I remember as a young kid, just got out of college, I was in radio broadcasting for 35 years. Boy, talk about humility and the trials. I kept making mistake after mistake. I was the head of the honorary society in broadcasting, and I had done well in school, and I got this job, and I was so embarrassed that I got this little job at this little radio station. Even though I was one of only three people in my graduating class who got a job in my field, I was too proud to tell people I went to work over at this radio station. And so the Lord saw to it in the next 6 months that I made every mistake I could have made. I got busted down to nothing. It was horrible, wasn't it, Pastor Sherry? She and her husband were praying for me, and I got reduced down. I got reduced, and I'd been used to being kind of a winner, you know? I got busted down to, they finally said, well, here's what we want you to do. We're making this tape classical music program at night that runs at night, so I want you to go in and turn the record over when the side of the record is done. That'll tell you how old the day was. It's not cassette, it's not 8-track, it was back to old vinyl stuff. They're coming back. Anyway, he says, I want you to just turn that over. Guess what? I screwed that up too. I missed it. I was in the bathroom. I didn't get there in time. I kept erasing the radio station jingles. You know, KRPL, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I'd put it in this box, and instead of hitting play, I'd hit record. Erased over. On the third time, I'm sitting here burying my head, and I called my wife. I said, honey, please pray for me. And I saw them through, you know, the radio station glass. I saw them through the glass. The one guy tell the wrong radio station manager I'd done it again, and I saw this. What? They called me in and gave me my 2 weeks notice. This is a little teeny radio station that I was too proud to let anybody know I worked at. And the Lord sitting in heaven said, son, it's time for you to embrace this lesson. And I hit my knees. And I remember going to see, you know, some of you remember Pastor Carl and, you know, my wife who passed and Pastor Carl who passed. The four of us were best friends. And I remember going up telling him, this is so unfair, blah, 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 blah. Pastor Carl sat back, as some of you might imagine, goes, well, aren't you glad that this isn't the business you're going to have your career in? Because you're really tubing it, Kevin. And I went, thanks for the compassion. He said, no, I mean, but, and then he looked at me and he said something so profound. He said, what I want to know is who you're really working for. Working for yourself? Working for your pride? When did you forget to work for God? And I repented. I hit my knees and I cried and cried and repented and repented. These guys gave me 2 weeks' notice. And they thought it was all done. And I got to tell you, in the next 2 weeks, I was the most free guy on the planet. Because I started working for Jesus. I was completely free. They were heavy and they were angry. And I was laughing all the time. And all of a sudden, everything I did started to turn to gold by the grace of God. And I went on from there to replace somebody in sales and do news work in sales. And I remember the person I replaced, they gave me this sales goal. And I went, okay, I'll do that. And I told the person I was replacing, she said, what was your goal? What'd they tell you? And I went, this. And she went, oh, my God, you'll never do it. And then she caught herself. She went, oh, wow, that's discouraging. She said, well, if anybody can do it, you can do it, you know. And my wife and I fasted and prayed. And the first month, we made exactly that. The next month, we doubled it. Then we tripled it. And I just kept right on going. By the time I finished my career there before I went full-time at the church, it took 3 people to replace me by the grace of God. And I don't say that in a puffed-up way. I say that the only way it ever got there was because I was afflicted in my soul. And the Lord said, it's time for you to come down and repent and recognize who you're working for and who is really in charge. Church, who's in charge? When life doesn't go your way, and most of the time it doesn't, who's still in charge? When things happen that you don't want to have happen, who do you think still keeping you and watching over you? Who do you think's hearing you, seeing you? And when you say, God, I'm just so grieved by this trial. How many of you know that he's looking at you saying, I know. But you see, son or daughter, if you'll just keep walking with me, and if you'll stay tender or get tender, if you'll just come down and surrender, I know exactly what to do and how to get you there. Because there, what's our goal? $1 million? No, what's our goal? I want to be just like you, Jesus. You're the one I want to be like. What was happening? They refused to worship the emperor's God. I'm not going to worship the things the world wants to worship. So sometimes you just plain don't fit in. Number 2, they refused to worship at pagan temples. So business for these money-making enterprises dropped whenever Christianity took hold. Listen, you read about the revivals, guys, when the Holy Spirit moved in Wales, and it was a huge revival. The first thing to shut down were all the bars. And the jails emptied out. The police didn't have anybody to arrest and put in jail. They were all in church. They were all saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And brothels would shut down because Jesus changes your life. Yeah. Not going to go worship at the pagan temples. They didn't support the Roman ideals of self and power and conquest. What do you mean you don't buy all the latest do-it-yourself books and the latest self-help books that says, oh, okay, you'll spend $1 billion making yourself better. You can shine up fool's gold as much as you want and it'll glitter as bright as it can be, but it's worthless. And every effort we put into that doesn't come to Jesus is never going to add up to anything in your soul. It doesn't mean you don't work hard and have a career. It doesn't mean you can't have provision. But remember, who is your God? Come on, who is your God? Jesus. He's the one we serve. I've had people say things like, why are you involved in service at church? Why are you helping your neighbor move? Why are you doing that stuff? What, are they just trying to get free labor? No, we do it because we love each other. We love Jesus. We love each other. Well, you're different. I guess I've been told that a lot in my life. You're different. Means we don't demand for ourselves, but we want him and his ways. And they exposed and rejected the horrible immorality of pagan culture. The horrible immorality Your humor is not the same. Your likes and dislikes aren't the same. You don't go to church to put the make on anybody. That's why around here, guys, we say pray with other guys. Don't pray with single women that aren't your wives. Or if you do, take your wife with you or join yourself with somebody else. If you have a burden, ladies, for guys. And we want to keep it clean and keep it sweet and keep it tender. And we want to help each other grow. We don't want to cause anybody to stumble. We want to help people see Jesus and know Jesus. And by the way, we're going to start making sure one of our eldership couples is over here at the end when we pray. Vernon Pat Perryman will be over there this morning. If you have further need for prayer, come and see them, and we'll have others there as well, no question. But Vernon Pat will be there this morning if you have further needs that you want prayer. You are important to us, and your prayers are very, very important to us. What's the result? Want to see who?
Jesus.
We want to see Jesus. We want to see Him. The refining process that burns away impurities and prepares us to meet Christ shows us Jesus. Brings Jesus out of us. Trials teach us patience. Somebody else, you all said it. Patience and humility and helps us grow to be the people Jesus wants us to be. Heaven's coming. And we're bringing heaven on earth now by the grace of God. But trials last only a while. And you'll live forever with Jesus in heaven. And why do we go through trials? To see Jesus, because trials test your faith. They prove that your faith is genuine. And strong. Say with me, the real deal. He wants to make sure that your faith and mine is the real deal. Gold is taken out of the ground and it's put over a fire, they say. The gold heats up. It liquefies the impurities that don't belong and they float to the surface. The verse up here is Proverbs 17:3, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord does what? Tests the hearts. The goldsmith scrapes the dross off the top and lets it cool. Then the goldsmith goes through this process over and over and over again, scraping away the dross, scraping away the dross, heating, scraping, cooling, heating, scraping, cooling. Come on, doesn't life feel like that sometimes? Heating, scraping, and cooling. But you know when the gold is finished going through its refining, when what you can see is your own reflection in the top of the gold. And what Jesus wants to do is see Himself when He looks at you and me. When the dross has been taken away, and the refining's been enough, He sees Himself. How many want Jesus to see Himself in you and me? I wish it could be easy, but I got to tell you, you know, the melting point of gold is 1950 degrees. That's hot. I get too hot on 80 degree day. Jesus cleans us. Knows just how to do it. And remember, no matter how tough it is right now, just remember and comfort each other and look at each other and say, hey, I see Jesus better in you today. I see Him. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. I know it's tough. I know you're going through it. But I see Jesus in you. And you know what? He's just going to keep making it so I can see Him better. Encourage each other. So much the more as you see the day approaching. I see Jesus in you. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't say it's too hot. I'm out of here. Keep going. because you'll see Jesus. Our faith is far more precious to him than gold. He loves you. He refines you. He defines you. Listen again to Pastor Sherry's opening. The result is the joy of the Lord that is your strength. So many things help us fall more in love with Jesus every single day. And Jesus will reward your faith with his presence now and in eternity. Are you ready? 1 Peter 1 verse 7 out of the Message says this. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. Do you know that you're kept by the power of God? Do you know that he's shining you up to see himself in you? Come on, do you know it, church? Stand with me, would you please? Father, we thank you that you are the Lord who sees what we're experiencing and sees the frustration of it all and sees what's going on. And Lord, you know that we don't like trials and we don't like tests and we don't want to go through them. I mean, that's just honest. We don't want to go through them. But Lord, help us as we go through them to see you and to walk with you through it all. Lord, we know that you see, that you know, that you are the God who does all things well. Yes. Say it with me. Jesus does all things well.
Does all things well.
Even my life.
Even my life.
So, Lord, we surrender. Give. Lord, we give ourselves to you again today. You keep refining us. You keep making us. And, Lord, let the end result be that we see Jesus in each other. We love you, Lord. We surrender to you now in Jesus' name. We love you so much. Amen. Yeah.